You are listening to.
Listening to.
You are listening to.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
BlackIsOnline.com.
Break!
What's going on, y'all? Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Black Is Break, brought to you by the Black Is Network. Now, this is your man Chris, one half of the brothers Layman. Want to thank you for the great feedback we've gotten regarding our last few episodes. That was basically like a three-parter of that conversation with the gender versus sexuality, struggling with identity, and finding happiness in relationships. We got a lot of love for that, and we appreciate it. Shout out to Queen Nee, who hit us up for that. And also got to give some love to This Is She Daily on Twitter, saying, I commend you all for having such provocative conversations, even though it's been challenging to listen to some perspectives. We bring a lot of different perspectives to the table. That's what we enjoy about doing the Black Is Break. And, you know, they are challenging. Some of them we're not in agreement with at all. But we like hearing them, and we love hearing what other people think and challenging those thoughts and opinions. So thank you for those kind words. Also want to give some love to C.L. Palmer on the rundown. He had KC and I on discussing Black Hollywood and relationships and a little and much more. So y'all should check that out. As a guest of the show, he was a cool dude. Check him out at therundown.com. And lastly, I want to give some love to a listener who's been very supportive of the Black Kids Network for a long time now. His name is Bert Ash. He is an associate professor of English and American Studies at the University of Richmond. He actually put out a new book. He read it over here at S1 in Leimert Park, so we stopped by to check it out. His book is called Twisted, My Dreadlock Chronicles. Real interesting book. The discussions they have are real good, so we can't wait to dive into this and see what he has to say. So I recommend you guys check that out. It's Twisted, My Dreadlock Chronicles. The name is Bert Ash. Show the brother some support, man. He's a real cool brother. So in this week's episode, we're talking about fixing plates. This is based on a post that my wife Casey found on Facebook about fixing a man's plate. Is that the way of keeping a man with tradition? You know, this whole gender roles. If you don't fix a man's plate, what does that say about you? And, you know, it brought up an interesting discussion. We have fun talking about it. Nice little short discussion. So hope you guys enjoy. And as always, if you guys want to comment, let us know your thoughts on this subject or any other subject as well. Or if you want to suggest a topic that you would like us to discuss, you can hit us up on Twitter at Black Is Online, on Facebook at Black Is Magazine. Email us, kc@blackisonline.com. Leave a message on the hotline, 323-455-4219. And you can always get at us on our website, blackisonline.com. Enjoy.
Did you guys see that article?
No.
So there was actually a debate as to whether or not fixing a plate for a man is like part of a woman's required role in the relationship.
And many people feel very strongly about that.
There are people who feel strong about it on both sides. Right. Like there are people who are like, hell no, I don't fix plates. That's not a requirement. And then, it was actually a scenario. It was like, you're at a picnic. You're with your guy. He keeps dropping hints that he wants something to eat. You're looking at him like you are very fucking capable of getting up and fixing your own plate. He doesn't. Another woman who doesn't know either of you guys is like, oh, I'll fix it, and goes and fixes his plate and brings it to him.
I'm like, that's hurt.
What is your response?
I mean, you got up and make that plate in the first place.
I was like, because you can make my plate too. Since you're just in the business of fixing plates.
Pretty pimp. I don't know. You know, like, well, shit, you didn't want them. I slam dunk them tonight. 2 weeks or one. I'm just saying.
Oh, the thing is, I guess I felt like in our relationship, because that's all I can base it on. Yeah, you were like, and all I can base it on, Chris and I will take care of each other depending on the circumstances. So, because I don't fix plates every night. Chris knows he comes home some nights and I'll say, everybody is every man for himself tonight. Now, it's who obviously we helping Eli put his plate together. Otherwise, it'd be all kind of chaos in there. But it's just, it's my way of saying I don't feel like fixing plates. I make mine. I'll fix the boys. And can you please take care of your own? But I don't mind fixing Chris a plate, especially if we're in an unfamiliar environment. Like, if we're at a friend's house in a situation, I'd be like, you know, I'll make you a plate. But he'll do the same for me. If I'm out of a drink or something, he'll refresh it for me. So it's not a big deal. It's not something that I feel is a requirement. Yeah, as if, like, if I never did it, he'd be like, what's up on his plates?
I shouldn't give him my eats.
What's going on?
Right.
I'm late set.
If you can't fix the plate, I can't eat. It ain't that kind of situation. Right. Mm-hmm. You know? But, you know, I don't feel like people should be crazy about it either way. Because from the arguments I heard, it was people who were just like, I don't never fix no plate. He can't wait to fix his own plate. Because there's something about fixing the plate that there's an intimacy there. You know what I'm saying? Especially if it's going both ways. But on the other hand, it's not like I'm going to shame somebody for not like, doing you it. Don't know your role, girl. That's why you can't keep no man because you can't fix no plate.
Somebody's
so stupid. Right.
I got 1,217 plates under my belt.
Perception of their gender roles, and I know a lot of women, a lot, who believe that you should be fixing plates, and
it's a duty.
Oh, very much a duty, like sex. Like they're so serious about it, and I know men who are, you know, right. I mean, there are men. I mean, yeah, men who are just as because I can't do both. I'm never gonna have kids.
You manage. You manage.
Awful. It's been proven.
who honestly will say to me, if they do that, that's fine. Like if they didn't, I would get up and get my own plate because I want to eat. But if a woman takes that on, they will let them. It's fine. You can go ahead and do it. But I feel like men, especially nowadays, if it's really between them and food, they will get up and get their own plate.
Yeah.
I think women create that situation. They make it seem like if I don't fix a plate, I'm about to lose my man at the picnic. And that should never be the case.
No.
Just because another woman fixes their plate doesn't mean your relationship is on the line.
Mm-mm.
Or you looking at her some kind of way. Like what's the value of your relationship if a plate fix is really like making a difference, you know?
Yeah, there is no value. And I think it's one of those things that maybe you learn growing up. Like my mother is very traditional. I don't know if I've ever seen my dad make his own plate. I guess if she's not home, but if she's there, she's fixed. But my mother is also the person who will fix everybody's plate.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say.
She's like, how many people eat? Okay. And she'll make everybody's plate. I remember doing it for male friends of mine when they would come by to visit when I was in high school. And I distinctly remember one of them. I put the plate in front of him. He was like, damn, you're a good wife. And I was like, what? Didn't even register to me. But that's how he took it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That part of that dutiful wife. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that picnic scenario.
Exactly.
I guess the question would be for that woman, like, are you noticing when people are eating that? There are a lot of women. Like, how did all the men get their plates? Are there, like, is there a mix? Do some men, you know, their plates are brought to them? Are there some who are, you know, go get it themselves? And then with the woman, because I heard, you know, I read the article. Somebody, I think it was Leisha, was like, oh, hell nah. There are some people who, it depends who how the woman is. You know, if the woman, like, your mama age.
Right.
Then you're just thinking, oh, well, she just sees he's hungry. Let me just fix him a plate.
Mm-hmm.
If she about 25, 30,
right.
They're going to be, who this heifer? Get my man a plate. Cause, no, because then you would say the same thing. Well, shit, since you about getting plates, can you fix me a plate then? Right.
Yeah, that's the difference.
Since you like being in the kitchen.
Yeah, if it's an older woman, if in the scenario that we outlined, if it was an elder, different situation altogether. But if it's somebody who for what it's worth, your competition...
You know, smack that plate down.
Right, unless you just passing out plates. No, that's not okay.
Well, I have done that, though. That's what's so ironic about the situation is I have done that. And I'm not doing it to get somebody's man, but if I hear somebody continually saying they're hungry, I'm like, well, do you want somebody to fix you a plate? And I don't care. But if you said the same thing, I would make you a plate. Now, I bet you...
But you've done that with a man who was there with his woman?
Yeah. Like, if some... Yeah. I don't care. And it's hilarious because as I'm sitting here,
Shelby in there making plays.
I'm sitting here having the conversation. I was like, damn, I never really thought about it like that. Because to me, I'm like, I know. I'm like, I'm up.
This but you're friends with both of these people, right? It's not just random strangers. Or is it?
You're just being helpful, that's all.
I'm pretty oblivious to stuff like that because I don't care. To me, making that plate is not a relationship make or break. So, and like, until we put it in this context, if somebody's dropping hints like they're hungry, I'm going to say, you want me to fix you a plate? Period. It could be a man or a woman.
Okay.
In the moment, that's how I'm thinking. Okay. Now, having this conversation, I'm sitting here like, oh, I wonder how many people were looking at me like, this bitch. But at the time, I'm not thinking like that. I have a servant spirit, though. I do. And so I will come into your house and clean it as easily. Exactly. And it's a problem because I will come in and I have stopped. But I used to be the person that would come in and I would clean your house. You know, I used to walk into my friend's house and she loved it. Her roommates hated it because they thought it was rude. Mm-hmm. They had dishes in the sink. I would just wash them. Like if she was still getting dressed, I would just wash the dishes because I'm just, you know.
Helping out.
What's the big deal? They're dirty dishes. Why not wash them? They were like, they thought I was trying to say they were dirty.
Well, I was free like, to bring that spirit back whenever you come over here.
I stopped because they felt like I was saying that they were dirty. And I was like, I didn't think that at all. I just saw dishes, so I washed them, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't do it anymore.
Okay.
I mean, if it was a friend of mine that did it, like made the plate, I wouldn't trip. But someone I don't know that, like, it seems like they're taking advantage of my lack of making it.
Yeah, yeah.
Then I'm like, no, I'm not really okay with that.
Right. Yeah. Right, right.
Like, chill out.
And we're pretty similar to you guys. Like, we equally make plates. Mm-hmm. Like, whoever makes dinner usually is also making the plates.
Yeah. That's what it should be.
Yeah, who makes dinner makes plates.
Cook and make some plates.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if you cook, you make the plates.
Because we almost had a routine. I cook... I'll make plates and then you clean up
the kitchen. Mm-hmm.
Even better.
Yeah.
It's funny because it's different, I guess, because in my household, my dad was the cook. At some point, it was like, okay, dinner's ready. Like, you know, make you a plate if you're hungry.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the point where I, you know, you get old enough where you start eating a lot and you're like, well, I want to make sure I get the portion I want. So let me go get it.
Mm-hmm.
As an adult, yeah. I mean, if we out to functions, usually for us, it's usually one of us to be like, hey, I'm up. You know, like if you happen to be sitting and have a conversation and the food's ready, I'm like, you want me to go get you some food? Because, you know, we know how niggas is. They food ready. The line about to be long as hell in like 2 minutes. Right. Like, well, I'm up. Let me make you a plate.
But I will say, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. No, go ahead. I've watched the women in my family make the men plates, so it's just kind of natural that
same here.
I do it. Like, they take over the kitchen, like how your mom makes the plates for everybody. Mm-hmm. Like, I will do that for mm-hmm. the Thanksgiving. Like, I'm just making everybody's plate. Mm-hmm. You know, I've learned to kind of, like, sit back and let people, because people are like, you don't have to make everybody's plate. But I've watched them do it. Like, my mom do it for her brothers. Just like when the men came in, their plates, you started stacking their plates. And mm-hmm. I started doing that. By the time you're like 13, 14, they have you in the kitchen. Like, you're old enough to help.
Oh, absolutely.
Also. Yes, absolutely. And so we made the plates, even for the little boys. Yeah. Like, you know. But they also were taught, like, you know, you go get the groceries when she's at pull up to the house. Little boys in my family know, mm-hmm. like, they're coming out, like, okay.
Let me help you bring in the bags.
Yeah, let me help with the bags. So, mm-hmm. I don't know if it's like a, yep. yeah, and trash. if it's a duty or whatever, but it was what I've learned. It was never spoken. Nobody ever said you're supposed to make the men's plate.
But they just did it.
And so you just knew, like, okay, like, you're making plates for your uncle, your dad, your godparents.
And probably not even gender specific, because if there's any elders in the house, they're going to get served.
They're going to get served also. Mm-hmm.
Served and served first.
Yeah.
You always make sure the old people eat.
The elders and the kids.
Yeah, I'm a guess that's still being taught, because I can see totally these young kids just being, like, totally aloof to that. Like, why are you eating first? Like,
right. Yeah.
And no hand comes smacking, like, hit their face in, like, the first 5 seconds, like, shut your ass up and make your grandmama a plate.
I just found it interesting that this was even a debate. It seems so pointless to me.
It shouldn't even be a debate. No one should pass judgment on the other.
Mm-mm.
Like, if you're making a plate for your man, that shouldn't, no one should have a judgment. Like, if you always... Or if you choose not to.
It's the dynamic between y'all.
It's y'all business.
We've been together 9 years and 3 kids. You ain't gonna make me no plates.
But it's interesting that you say that that's like a level of intimacy. I feel like, because I have a friend who does not, who she was in a relationship and they preferred that the other one didn't make their plate.
Okay.
Because she said.
It's hilarious. This is a discussion.
Don't make my plate.
I found her response hilarious because she said, I mean, what if I don't want a lot of green beans that day? What if I don't? She's like, it's really stupid. In her opinion, it was stupid. She's like, I know what I want to eat that day. Therefore, I'm going to put the food that I want on a plate. There's no reason for someone else. She's like, we're both perfectly capable of making a plate. He's going to put what he wants on a plate. I'm going to put what I want on a plate. And so she's like, what if I put too much? And then it gets thrown away. And she's like, it just seems stupid.
When you start knowing each other, you kind of know
each other's
taste. See, for her, though, that she said that, well, they broke up, by the way. But
you don't know I don't like green beans. Right. You keep putting green beans on my plate.
You're making my plate.
My green bean to rice ratio is incorrect.
Right. More rice, less green beans.
My fork is on that side. I can't eat.
And it must be the other girl that like a lot of green beans, but that is something we would say.
And the thing is,
like, you would know that, right?
Yeah.
Like, I think that's the point, though, is that it's not even just about the woman's role. It's about how well do you know me that you can put my food on my plate? Like, going to a restaurant and ordering for somebody. Would you let him order? Would you let your husband order for you in a restaurant? And really,
for shits and giggles, why not?
Right, but really, what you do? The question about how well do you know me? It's not always just about serving somebody. It's also how well, knows what I want. So she can go there, make the plate, she can go to the restaurant, order the food.
This is making me take this into a whole different area of conversation, because I'm thinking about when Chris and I first, when our relationship got really solid, the idea of shopping for one another. Ooh. Remember the first time
shopping
I went out.
Clothes or groceries?
Clothes.
Okay.
And
okay.
I went to buy him some jeans. And I came back with those jeans. And Chris tried them jeans on. He came out. He was like, baby, these jeans are tight. But I had to learn how to shop.
You
had
to put them on in front of you. Like, let's see when I put these on.
Oh, but that was something that I had to pick up to be able to do it. Even now, Chris doesn't really buy clothes for me. Accessories, yeah. I think with women, at least for me, size is always crazy. Top one size, bottom another size.
Yes.
And it's just better to give me.
I have no idea.
Yeah,
they do.
Oh, yes, they do.
Some do, but it's, some guys may know. I take on, like, I don't want to get it wrong because, you know. Yeah, yeah.
I can't get the one side.
And my wife, she's not going to make a big deal, but I can see women feeling like if you buy it and it's too big, then you're like, oh, what do you
think?
What you think? I'm just big. Then if it's too small, you'd be like, yeah. If you buy it and they can't fit it.
Yeah, just give me the gift card. Yeah.
Yes. You think I'm crazy?
But it also made me think, though. I heard a woman say she didn't like for a man to open doors for her.
Oh, why not?
It was something I saw online. Let me be real. Wasn't somebody I knew personally, because I'd have had a
look too. But it was like, she was like, I don't need a man to open doors to me. You don't need to open my car door. You don't need to open a door for me to get into a building. I'm capable of doing that myself. Yeah. And I'm like, really?
You don't need extra sauce on those wings or anything. But it makes it good. Like it from yeah, time. You know, it's not about a need, but it's a gift.
Yeah.
Gifts are not needed, yeah. but they're appreciated. So to me, it's a gift. If the guy opens the door, that's a gift. It's a nice gesture. You take it and say thank you.
I guess to me, that's one of those things that doesn't even need to be discussed.
No. Well, because you're the opposite.
But then if you don't hold the door and let the door slam in your face when you're walking in,
then that's problematic.
Well, because you still have the women who are like, when we in the car together and I get out, you know, they wait. They're like, I'm going to sit in this car and wait for this dude to open my door.
Yeah.
So if you get up and you walk and you turn around, you're like, oh, she's still in the car. Yes. Like, why are you going to leave the car? Like, because you ain't open the door. And it's like, oh, I'm supposed to open your door now? Okay.
But that's, to me, that's home training.
That's chivalry.
You're taught that at home. Oh, my goodness. Okay.
That's great.
So, obviously, this is still something that people are contending with. I find it very interesting.
What was making a plate.
Yeah.
The last time you made a plate for me.
Today, fool. Old sliders and underrings.
But that's why they say chivalry is dead. And they're like, how come men don't? Like, well, y'all don't need us to.
Right.
Yeah, as often, that. We don't.
That's not, I don't think that's true for our generation. I think a lot of the stuff that comes across the news
will make you think,
quote
that.
Unquote, right now, it doesn't pertain to those of us that are in our 30s. That has nothing to do with us. That's these 20-year-olds trying to figure that
shit out.
I know
some nutsy people. I know really? A fool that doesn't want, not a fool, I shouldn't say that. She's my friend, I love her, but she says stuff like that. Why do you need to open the door for me? Like,
but why? Where is it based
her? Because she has issues with gender roles. And her thing is, if I want to be seen as an equal, then I don't want to be treated like I'm so delicate. Like, treat me like an equal. And I told her, I said, no, look.
It's too many expectations when it's a relationship. And I think, like, when you have... She doesn't have all these expectations for you as a friend. Like, if you did a genuine gesture, she would not say, I don't need you to buy my dinner. I can buy my own. Like, I think you have to approach all relationships, whether it's going to be an intimate relationship or any relationship with that. Like, you're just cutting yourself short when you don't know how to receive.
Oh, and I agree.
And
to me, it brings up a whole other question. Like, when you say equal, you're never going to be... Yeah, you're never going to be exact... To a man, you have your equalness in your own stance and your femininity. Yeah. Why not stand in that power versus trying to erase all lines and say, I don't need you to do these things for me in order to... He's never going to see you as he sees another man.
Right.
Right, no matter what. And you shouldn't want it.
Right.
No, because if you want to get treated like... I'm like, you don't want to get treated like another guy.
Right. You really don't. I mean, you
really don't. Shoving you with something. What do you think? Did that
right.
hurt?
I'm like,
let me
you don't want that.
But I feel like people go to the polar opposite of what... So you grow up in a house, and she happened to grow up in a house where her mother did what was expected. So she did the traditional, you know, wife role, female, blah, blah, blah. And so for her, she went polar opposite. And I'm like, dude, seriously, you could really come into the gray area.
Yeah. You know? That happy medium.
And I think that, to be perfectly honest, what I've watched happen with her is that she did fall into some gender roles of cooking and things like that, because once she was in a more stable relationship, she took them on without even realizing it. And I think, you know, I think we all do that a little bit. We find ourselves doing things that we didn't expect that we would do.
Mm-hmm.
Because we do what we were taught and what we saw. So what our kids see us do, what our kids see us do, they'll in turn end up doing in some way, shape, or form, maybe, because it's just what they see.
Yeah.
And they mimic it.
Yeah.
But I have a problem in general with society just going so far opposite, because it's not necessary.
Yeah.
Like, it just doesn't make any sense at all.
Receive the gift. Just receive the gift.
Right.
How about that? Receive the gift.
Question everything as if... Like, we question things even when they're not bad or detrimental to us. Like, there are people who have been in situations where it's been abused, but I don't think that's the norm. You know what I mean?
I don't understand how opening the door for me could ever be an abuse.
Right. Not at all.
ever.
I don't know, but I just like, as long as y'all say thank you, I'm good.
Yeah. And that too, these ladies need to learn to say thank you. If you want somebody to be nice to you, say thank you.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm not the type that's going like, oh, this woman didn't say, she ain't say thank you. So to every other woman after her, fuck y'all. I'm right. But I do feel like, because dudes do that.
You could have said thank you.
Right. But it is a pain if I open the door and you just walk through and don't say nothing.
Not doing her job.
Man.
Brother Tash is just
joining us. I don't know. But I will say, like, it's nice to see those kind of traditions stick around. You know, when you do see men opening doors still.
Or walking on the outside on the street. I mean, I know them all. I love them all.
Didn't you say you saw that on Facebook or something, too? Where somebody was like, what's wrong with this picture?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And the lady was walking on the outside.
Yeah, that has to be true. I think it seemed like the opening the door thing, I think if you see it enough, it'll make sense. The walking on the outside, I think you have to be like, yo, you're supposed to walk on the outside. Yeah. You're not going to know as a guy. You're not really know.
I had to be told, like, okay, get on the outside.
Yeah. Like, oh, okay.
I had never even heard of that before. I mean, old.
Walking on the inside?
Probably not so I was out of college.
Oh, wow.
My friend's little
brother, we were walking down the street, and I was in high school, and he's younger than us. And he smooth walked. He was like, and he just kind of maneuvered his body on the other side of me, and I was shocked that he was so young. And he knew, and he didn't say anything. He just walked around and he brushed me and he kind of pushed me in.
Yeah, right.
And I was like, wow, thank you so much. That was so sweet. Young guy.
That's
but his mama told him.
Oh, of course his mama told him.
So where did it come from?
The gesture comes from like European times when they used to throw their trash and feces and all that stuff just right in the middle of the street. Oh. So the woman would walk in the inside so she don't catch all of that. That's where it comes from. It's the chivalry of that.
Yeah, from that and horse carriages hitting the curb and like that splashing.
Because yeah. Them Europeans, man, they're some nasty people.
Yeah, some traditions seem to be gone. Like the whole, when we were kids, seeing the whole, like, oh, it's a puddle, lay your jacket down so the woman can walk on over it. Now you're just like, no, I ain't doing that.
We'll just walk
over. I rarely see this happen. I've heard on another podcast that brought it up, how if a woman was either coming to sit down or stand up and leave from her table, all the men would stand up.
Oh, yeah. That definitely doesn't happen.
No.
See, watch. I'm going to prove it.
No, that was too fast.
What'd you say?
I had it so
Something else.
That's all way too formal.
I've seen multiple posts on Facebook from pregnant women in New York. Who say that in New York, like, it's like chronically a problem or no
subway.
Yeah, that
yes.
Oh. Multiple friends of mine, and this is like a friend in college wrote a post about this. All the women that commented on her post agreed, like across the board. Like, it wasn't even one woman who said, no, I've been on a subway pregnant and a man has given his seat up for me. Like, they all said across.
This is all, like, basically in New York.
Yeah, it's all in New York. Okay. But, they were saying the only people that give their seats up for pregnant women are women, other women. Wow. The men don't even think about it, offer nothing. And I was very shocked.
Wow.
I was shocked. Yeah, I was like, whoa. And it was, like, universal. That's what was so shocking.
Not giving up.
Is it because they don't notice in New York?
Right?
You can't tell she's pregnant?
No, this woman was like, I was so pregnant. Like, there was, multiple anecdotes about it. And multiple of them were like, I was obviously pregnant. Like, there was no doubt about it. And she's like, I stood and I kind of shoved my belly in the guy's face. Because she's just, like, standing and the guys are just sitting there. I was very surprised.
I think that's, like, a societal thing because I was reading Lean In. Sheryl Sandberg, and she was talking about how when she was in corporate America, which how she still is, and when she was pregnant with her kids, having to walk like across the freaking parking lot to go to her office. And one day she was just like coming towards the end of her pregnancy, just completely worn out, swollen feet, everything. And when she got upstairs, she told her boss, like, we need parking for pregnant women. Mm-hmm. And he was like, oh, okay. She was like, because it's not a second thought for men. They don't, it's hard for them to relate. to how uncomfortable it is. The only mall I've ever been to, and they just recently did it, Fox Hills has
maternity parking,
mm-hmm. right? Like, they don't...
I've seen a couple stores with maternity parking, but it's very rare.
Yeah, that's very... So very I think it's a societal rare. Thing.
Right? Yeah, I think it's something that... I've heard that before. That's somebody...
And you know what's crazy is that once you're... How far is it when you're in your pregnancy where you legally become disabled, by the way? By law, you're considered disabled.
Third trimester, probably.
Right. So, it's not like... Yes, legally, yes you can't maneuver!
Disability placard.
Yes.
Disability placard.
Oh, you cannot maneuver the way you normally do. Like, you literally need... Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can park
I
in
have to do
it
Yeah.
As soon as you let me know. Girl, sit down. Don't touch nothing. Don't do nothing. You're going to hurt the baby.
That's when I could see that in the subway with New York just because I feel like a seat is gold. During rush hour.
If it's rush hour.
Yeah, you're like, hell no, I had to jump at this seat. I'm not giving it up.
You ain't did
that. Well, I would, but you know, I'm not.
Uh-oh,
I ain't born and raised in New York.
Don't tell Jamie.
It's a suggestion about that. Like you saying that women are supposed to do that.
Jamie, you should have brought Tasha Tree.
It's just nice.
Yeah. Plus, you get at the black schools. Because I remember there's a period when I was going to church at college and going to, like, the campus church. And, of course, the campus is like, there's a huge disparity between men and women. And they would be like, when it started getting full, they would ask the guys to give up their seat. And probably, like, the third time I heard, I'm like... I don't want to keep giving my damn seat up. Like, basically, won't you just say all the men get your ass up? Because clearly, it's about like 90% women in here. You ain't sitting down. So, let me say, if it gets overcrowded, if you a man, get up. I was like, what? I don't want to get up every damn time. Seriously? Well, they brought it up. They didn't go that far, but it was like 10, 11 girls come in, and, you know, they standing. And of course, the pastor's gonna be like, won't one of these men, gentlemen, get up, man? These ladies haven't seen the guys like.
What if he was with a lady? Or what if he, you know, like he has to get up to not be with his woman so that.
And they don't give a fuck. They don't. You just. We all.
Another woman in heels is sitting down? Yes.
Yeah. All the guys are looking like, which one of y'all gonna. Who getting up? Because I'm not.
Yes.
Isn't there something chivalrous about, like.
with your woman?
Sitting by your woman, so now you're
gonna
be out in the back.
With the other
women
that are
staying. Think about it, like.
Devil's advocate.
I think it's singles men, you know, like the single.
If you're a single man, please stand up and give your seat to the
ladies. Right. I'm like, is he serious over here? Okay.
Yeah.
Does that not make sense?
I get it. If you're in a relationship, then you should stay seated with the person who you're in a relationship with.
I agree.
But if you're by yourself.
But if I'm in a relationship and I see a pregnant woman, that rule goes out the window. Like, it's like, yo, sister, come sit. You know, right, that clear. On the subway, yeah. Yeah,
that's dirty.
For a dog, I mean, for a guy to just be.
You said for a dog?
Yeah.
I misspoke,
but that was like a Freudian.
Like, that's what I meant. And here's the thing. The women, they said mostly women actually give up their seats?
All women.
Do they do it with an attitude? Like,
no,
excuse
like,
me, like.
I understand that, but either.
No.
Not
an attitude
yeah.
toward the woman,
oh, yeah,
but
yeah,
toward
yeah.
the neighboring. Is it more out of like, do I have to give her my seat?
They weren't that detailed, but oh, I'm okay. sure, I can only right. imagine. I'm sure some of them are.
Yeah,
like.
The women
off.
Understand.
Yeah. yeah, they're like, okay, I've been there, or even, I mean, I've never been there, but I would understand.
Yeah. Like, let me give her the seat, because mm-hmm. you know.
Heck yeah. And they look uncomfortable
yeah,
when women are in that stage of pregnancy.
It is uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Is Break. We'd love to hear your thoughts on the subject. Hit us up, let us know what you think. You can reach us on Facebook at Black Is Magazine, on Twitter at Black Is Online. You can hit us up via email at kc@blackisonline.com. Leave a message on the hotline,
323-455-4219. You can always check us out on our website, blackisonline.com. Thanks again.